Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as I said before the break, Jersey City will become the first city in the state and the sixth in the nation to guarantee paid sick leave. The mayor of Jersey City, Stephen Fulop, one of the champions of this proposal, joins us now. Mayor Fulop, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.
So who will be covered by the new law?
It's going to cover any employers who have 10 or more employees, and they'll have the opportunity to earn the paid sick leave. And then under 10 employees, the ordinance will protect them from being terminated if, God forbid, them or somebody in their immediate family gets sick.
So 10 or more employees, and then they'd be eligible for, do I see this right, up to 5 paid sick days a year?
Yeah, so it's important. Sometimes people misconstrue that they think of it as just some additional vacation time, and it's really not. It's days that they can earn based on hours that they work. So it equates to 1 hour for 30 hours worked. So during the course of the year, assuming you work an entire year, it'll come out to roughly 5 days earned over that period of time.
Now, I think that this is one of the more generous paid sick leave bills among the six now that we have in the nation: San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Oregon, Washington, D.C., and as of recently, New York City, plus the state of Connecticut have passed laws mandating paid sick leave. Jersey City has about 250,000 population, pretty small city compared to the others. And yet I think this is a more generous provision than most of those others in terms of 5 paid sick leave days, how small businesses are that will be covered by it, and the opportunity, which we haven't mentioned yet, of employees of smaller businesses to earn up to 40 hours of at least unpaid sick time. So how would you contextualize this?
All right. So let me say a couple of things. So we're the second biggest or first biggest. I mean, Newark and Jersey City are neck and neck as far as population goes. And we're a very diverse city, obviously across the river from New York. We had extensive conversations on trying to get it right as it relates to the size of 10 employees or more. And we settled on 10 just based on kind of the business sizes in Jersey City. The reality of the situation is I think this is a basic human dignity issue. So what we've done is we've set the number at 10, and we've said that the city in 1 year is going to commission a study from Rutgers, the labor commission there, and assess the impact, and then we're going to adjust it accordingly. So we thought that 10 was a fair number to start at. We're, you know, to the right of San Francisco, obviously, and we're marginally to the left of New York. And I think it is a very, very good place for the city to be governmentally, and I think it's the right thing to do on so many different fronts.
By next October, by way of comparison, businesses with 15 or more employees in New York City will be required to provide the paid sick leave. You know, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention to Jersey City politics in the last few months, Mayor, but we had this whole dust-up and worse in New York that went on for months and years, resulted in intense pressure on City Council Speaker Christine Quinn while she was running for mayor and saying the time is not right for paid sick leave with the economic downturn, finally being pressured into this compromise for political survival, and of course she didn't get the nomination anyway. And yet you just came in recently, and this seems to very quietly have gone through without a whole big brouhaha. Or what did I miss?
Well, I think it's the right thing to do. So, and I'm happy that the council supported the initiative. It was covered in the New Jersey media. It probably didn't get to the extent the national media did that New York when Bloomberg and Christine Quinn were going back and forth on this. But, you know, people who are opposed to it are always going to have a reason why they're opposed to it. When the economy is good, they're going to say, don't rock the boat. And when the economy is bad, they're going to say, this hurts too much. So, you know, there's never kind of a wrong time to do the right thing. And this is a woman's issue. It's a minority family issue. It's, like I said, a human dignity issue. There's a lot of reasons why this kind of thing makes sense. It's unfortunate that it had to go through the turns that it did in New York, because New York probably should have embraced it sooner and been advocates for it, and it shouldn't have gotten into the political mess that it did via the whole election and political deals, et cetera, et cetera. But look, in Jersey City, it was clean. It was done properly. There was a lot of support for it. We even had businesses come out and support it, and I think it's a win-win for the employers and the employees, actually.
In New York's law, there's a caveat that allows for the regulation to be postponed if the city's economy worsens, as measured by an index published by the Federal Reserve. Does your version have any similar caveat?
No. We are enacting this. We think it's the right thing to do. And in 1 year, we'll have Rutgers take a look at it. And, you know, they're going to advise us on tweaking it and adjusting it however appropriate. So, you know, we didn't carve out certain industries. We didn't play favorites. You know, it's just the right thing to do. So we're doing it. And we didn't pick and choose an industry because they had a different story than somebody else. We said, you know what, if you have 10 employees or more, this is what we're doing.
We do know that some small business groups are opposed to this legislation in Jersey City as elsewhere. And I gather you said that you expect to be sued over it. Do I have that right?
Yeah, well, that's true. Let me say that the feedback that we got in the opposition was the exact same that the other six cities in the country that did this heard. And after the legislation was enacted in most of those cities, if you look back at newspaper articles a year afterwards, that you would see that many of the people who opposed it would comment that the impact wasn't what they think it would be. It equates to about, you know, a 2% cost, really. So it's you're talking like bare minimum over here for something that's very, very substantial for working families. So, you know, as it relates to kind of the small business lobbyist organizations around the state, you know, we've heard that there's a strong likelihood that they're going to sue. And I think that the way the legislation's crafted, we are on very strong footing.
We'll go
through that process.
Do you think any small businesses might actually go out of business as a result of this? Certainly restaurants and others that employ a lot of, you know, low-wage help have been crying in New York that, hey, you know, this may be the difference between business life and business death, as we have to cover a lot more, you know, per diem days.
No, I don't think anybody's going to go out of business because of this. And if somebody's going out of business because and they say that this is the reason that they're going out, then there was probably other things wrong with their business to begin with. So, you know, I do not see that being an issue. What I see is that people are going to be concerned initially. And as it kind of rolls out full throughout the city over the next year, those business owners are going to say that, you know, they're going to have better employees because a healthy employee is a better employee. It's better for consumers who are going to be in those respective businesses because who wants a sick employee, you know, handling your food? And ultimately, I think it's going to be a win-win.
Are part-time employees covered on any kind of a sliding scale of days?
We did it not based on defining part-time or full-time because we didn't want people to say, all right, I'm just going to hire part-time employees to try and circumvent the law. So what we did it was based on the hours that you work. So I don't care if you call them full-time or part-time. What I care about is the hours they work. So if they work 30 hours for any employer, regardless of what you call them, if they work 30 hours, they earn 1 hour of sick time. So we did that intentionally because we didn't want people circumventing what we thought was a good public policy.
And you didn't want people laying off or avoiding full-time employees and staffing up with part-timers to avoid the law.
Correct.
Mayor Steve Fulop from Jersey City, congratulations on getting this through. We'll see if it becomes a model for other cities in the state. And I really, really appreciate you coming on for a few minutes on short notice, just as this news has been breaking today. Thank you so much.
And Brian, I really appreciate it and hope to talk to you soon.
You bet. Thank you very much. Now, listeners, here's a breaking development with respect to Obamacare that's just coming over the AP wire. It says administration officials are quietly telling key interest groups to expect initial glitches signing up online for coverage under President Obama's health care overhaul. And this is small business related. It says two sources tell the Associated Press that small businesses will not be able to enroll online starting October 1st. when these markets go live. Instead, one of the sources, a person who was briefed on the situation, said business owners will initially have to mail or fax their information so that they can enroll. Separately, the administration told Hispanic groups that the Spanish language version of its healthcare.gov website will not be ready to handle enrollments for a few weeks. An estimated 10 million Latinos are eligible for coverage. So a few details of reported delays in Obamacare. And there you go. That's our show for today. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.